There is a crisis happening in the nonprofit sector, and it shouldn't be a surprise. For decades, nonprofits have neglected the important work of employee retention and training managers to be effective. So, it's no wonder that frontline fundraisers are leaving every 15 to 18 months. What many leaders don't realize is that this kind of turnover causes significant damage to our donor relationships and, ultimately, your ability to make an impact on your mission. That's why in this podcast, Richard and I are chatting with Karen Kendrick, our Senior Director of Learning, about how you can better retain your fundraisers.
Welcome to the Nothing But Major Gifts podcast from Veritas Group, featuring Richard Perry and Jeff Schreifels. Twice a month, we bring you the latest and best thinking about major gift fundraising, so you can develop authentic relationships with your major donors. Here are your hosts, Richard and Jeff.
Welcome to the podcast today. I have Richard Perry and Karen Kendrick here with me, and we want to talk about the crisis of fundraiser attrition that is occurring right now in most nonprofits. And Richard, you and I have talked about this quite a bit.
Boy, yes, we have. I mean, I'm telling you, it's one of the most pressing problems facing fundraising in the last decade. I mean, it's just a serious thing.
And here's the thing. In my opinion, the managers of these frontline fundraisers, they're taking advantage of people who are doing this work.
Now, hang on a second. What do you mean by taking advantage?
Well, if you look at survey after survey of fundraisers, over 85% of them would say they have a higher motive than just getting a paycheck or advancing their careers.
Yep, that's right.
That's a huge percentage of people who see their work in fundraising as a personal mission of their own, right? So in other words, these are people who are driven by work that fulfills their personal mission and who find immense joy in it and are much more likely to work harder, longer, accept lower compensation to do that work. Mm. But when you couple that with an industry where leadership believes overhead anywhere north of 10% is wasting their donors' money, you have a problem. It's kind of strange when you come to think about it, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, okay. So let's break this down. So what you're saying is the organization has two supposedly good organizational attributes, two of them.
Right.
Mission-minded employees, which is what any CEO or executive director loves. I mean, anybody wants a mission-minded employee.
Right.
And the second thing is an intention to be careful with how you steward the donor's gifts. Now, those are really good things. But I think what you're saying is that when you take them together, it creates an environment that's hurting the frontline fundraisers.
That's exactly right. And according every article we read, especially in the last few months, this conflict is causing many good frontline fundraisers to leave their positions in fundraising and at nonprofits altogether.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's a pretty bad situation. And, you know, I'm really glad that we have, you know, our own Karen Kendrick here on the team to give input on, you know, what to do about this situation. So, Karen, you've heard Jeff and me talk about this. I mean, what's your view on all of it?
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. It is concerning, and it is sort of an interesting dichotomy of caring for those in our mission, but also caring for our people. So, you know, we know that people are our most important asset in our organization, especially when you think about fundraising and building those relationships. I mean, they make carrying out the purpose of the organization possible. So it is ironic, you know, that the sector in our society that's supposed to be doing good in the world is so often exploiting their own people, really not realizing it, I think, a lot of the time, who are trying to accomplish that good.
Well, that's weird.
Well, you know, I think it's something we really don't talk about as much in our sector. So just recently, the Chronicle of Philanthropy shared a survey result that showed that 51% of fundraisers expect to leave their current job in the next 2 years.
Wow.
And not only that, Richard, on top of that, 3 out of 10 surveyed fundraisers expect to leave fundraising altogether in the next 2 years. So, you know, think about this. This could be catastrophic for our industry. And it really, we need to figure out how to address this.
Well, Before we get into our recommendations about that, let's just talk about why this is happening.
Well, you know, Jeff, I really think that there's probably two reasons, you know, that are for this. Or, I mean, two things that kind of at the macro. First, are these good people are being put under unreasonable pressure and unrealistic goals. I mean, that's mm-hmm. one big category. Mm-hmm. And leaders, and then secondly, leaders and managers are maintaining an environment and a culture that's hostile, or, you know, at the minimum, apathetic about fundraising. I mean, we've seen a lot of that.
Okay, so let's talk about both of these points, starting with you, Richard, on the unreasonable pressure and the goals point.
Well, we've been through this so much. I mean, we know the whole thing starts to go bad when the goals are set for frontline fundraisers. I mean, mm-hmm. we know that every goal for every donor, you know, it could be mid-level, major, planned gifts, should, I mean, we know that every goal should be driven by donors' passions and interests.
Right.
As well as the history of the giving of the donor, the donor's potential, the nature of the relationship to the fundraiser. I mean, these are the main things as to mm-hmm. what drives the goal. Now, these four things must be the focus of a really engaged conversation between the manager and the frontline fundraiser. And the discussion's got to involve, you know, reviewing the goal set for that donor, and then an agreement between management and you know, the MGO, you know, about the number.
Yeah.
And the thing is managers should not fall into the trap of just announcing that a fundraiser needs to raise, you know, 15% or some other number you've dreamed up, you know, 15% more than last year. You know, Jeff, mm-hmm. you and I know that it's convenient and easy, but it's not realistic or honoring to do that. Plus, there's not a logical basis for something like that.
Boy, Richard, I know when I was a fundraiser, I'd sometimes just be given a random number and I wouldn't know how they came up with it or how I was going to reach it.
It's crazy. Now, what if by coincidence, when the fundraiser adds up the goals for each donor that they've set, using the criteria I said earlier, that the average increase is 9%? Mm-hmm. You know, what's the manager going to do? You know, are they going to force the fundraiser to like, okay, we're going to squeeze that extra needed from some hapless donor? I mean, it just never works and it won't work. So goals need to be donor specific and focused. Now, I mean, it is true that there may be some energetic discussions between management and frontline fundraisers about what's possible for selected donors. Mm-hmm. But they got to, and you just go with that kind of high energy discussion and you reach a compromise. But, you know, a manager just cannot kick into the authority mode and just dictate stuff. That's where it starts to go bad. I mean, you got to gain agreement and consensus.
Well, here's a related point too, is once the goal is agreed upon, when the fundraiser needs to develop, they really then need to develop a personalized plan for the donor that's going to document the steps they're going to take to secure the goal, right?
Exactly.
That plan has to have a number of touch points, stewardship and solicitation into it. You've got to have that. So mm-hmm. let's get to the second point on toxic environment, Karen. What can be done in this area?
Yes, thank you, Jeff. And I know, you know, even for us at Veritas, we're looking at this for our own team. You know, this is stuff we all need to grow and learn about. And mm-hmm. I think it starts with, like, how do we treat our people? Yeah. Are we paying them well? Are we giving them ample time off, training them properly, helping them mm-hmm. advance, mm-hmm. you know, and are we looking at who we're advancing and not advancing in our organization? Are we providing flexibility? I mean, I've heard of folks just recently that you're coming back to work in the office tomorrow. I mean, there's not really a collaborative flexibility conversation happening. So the combination of your people's love of the mission and your ability to provide them with a life-giving workplace, that's powerful. And people want that and they desire mm-hmm. to have meaning and that creates joy. So there's so much possibility there. And then secondly, we've got to provide frontline fundraisers with clear expectations and structure. You were, you know, referring to this, Richard, in which to do their work. Like so many times, not only with goals and plans, but in all their work, they're just trying to figure out like, what is my job exactly? What am I supposed to be doing? What are the priorities? Yep. So the best thing you can do as a leader is make sure there are clear expectations and then provide them with the proper structure that's set up to create those authentic donor relationships, to know what's expected, to know how they're measured. So you set them up for success, right? And then there's the critical piece about culture and thinking about, you know, does your culture create a place of support for everyone where trust and vulnerability mm-hmm. are welcomed for all people? Like, can you have those, you know, honest, tough conversations and know your leadership has your back? Mm-hmm. Do your behaviors actually match your values in your organization? So, you know, it doesn't matter how much you pay someone or pay your fundraisers. If the climate is toxic or inauthentic, they will not stay. At least the good ones won't. So, you know, Jeff, there's so many valuable areas. And I know one that you care a lot about is celebrating people. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I do. And we have spoken with scores of fundraisers who tell us, I mean, we get these emails all the time, that no one is telling them they're doing a good job. And we all want a pat on the back and recognition for a job well done. We all want that encouragement and for our leaders and managers to really acknowledge good work. And it's mm-hmm. amazing to us that something so small, like telling your fundraisers how good they are at their work, can have such a huge impact on performance and well-being.
Boy, that is, I mean, that kind of feedback is so important. This is a great discussion, but I want to add one more area that can help create a safe and productive environment, like Karen was talking about earlier for your frontline fundraisers. And it's this whole area of performance evaluation. And this is a hard part, and it's very labor intensive. You've got to meet weekly with every frontline fundraiser to review the progress against the plan that they wrote for the donor. Mm-hmm. You can't just leave it to like, well, I'm going to check in once a month. You want to be sure that you're talking with the fundraiser and holding them accountable to execute the plan. Now, this is really critical to their success. See, one of the major reasons a fundraiser doesn't achieve the goals that have been set is because management accountability is really not in place. So this is very important. This kind of checking in and walking with the fundraiser gives you the opportunity to know in caps what's going on in time to correct it and then provide encouragement and give advice and input. I mean, all of this done correctly is really a positive experience for frontline fundraisers.
Yeah. And I think all of this explains why so many frontline fundraisers are leaving. I mean, the mm-hmm. fact that many nonprofit cultures are broken and this brokenness is bruising employees to the point where they're literally running away. Mm. And we have written extensively about this. And one really good resource is a white paper we've written on how to build a culture of philanthropy in your organization. And you can get it for free by going to veritasgroup.com and clicking on the resource tab and then on white papers. And there you'll find building a culture of philanthropy. That's veritasgroup.com, resource tab, white papers.
Thank you, Jeff. That is a great white paper. And mm-hmm. there's also one other thing you can do. You can let us work with your frontline fundraisers and provide that support they need within the context of your leadership and management mandate.
Yeah, that's a great idea. We have a whole system of support with hundreds of nonprofits in the US, Canada, and Europe that have adopted. And we work with you to co-manage your frontline fundraisers, where we actually sit down and, like Richard said, we work every week with your frontline mm-hmm. fundraising staff. We help build that structure. And then we co-manage them to make sure that they actually are accountable, they're focused, but that they get that pat on the back. They get someone to come alongside of them and say, mm-hmm. hey, here's some ideas. You're doing a great job. Let's keep it going. And when we do that, they make their goals. And not only that, but they have real relationships developed with their donors. So, you know, we would just love for you to check that out. So to learn how that works, you can contact Amy Chapman at achapman@veritasgroup.com for more information. You will be surprised on how effective that program is.
Well, and here's the thing. all that's true, but there's another good thing that you didn't mention is that the revenue actually goes up.
Well, there is that too.
I mean, just last year, for the average increase of revenue last year during all this COVID stuff going on,
yeah,
revenue went up for all of our clients to buy on average 23%.
Yeah.
And the frontline fundraisers are staying. I mean, so this whole system creates an environment that's positive, that actually addresses all the issues that Jeff and Karen and myself have been talking about. I mean, you can't beat that. There's nothing better than creating an environment where everybody's working on the same page. They're excited. They're happy. They're fulfilled. They go home at night feeling like they've done a great job. And the net revenue for your programs is going up. Nothing better than that.
No. Well, thanks for joining Karen, Richard, and myself today. Remember, you can get the white paper, Building a Culture of Philanthropy, by going to veritasgroup.com, click on that resources tab, and look for white papers. And if you're interested in how Veritas can help you co-manage your mid, major, or planned giving staff, reach out to Amy Chapman at achapman@veritasgroup.com. And not only will we help you co-manage, but we'll see your revenue skyrocket.
I know.
As Richard just said. So thank you, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you all.
Thank you for joining us for the Nothing But Major Gifts podcast from Veritas Group. Richard and Jeff also write an ongoing blog that you can subscribe to for free at veritasgroup.com. Please join us again next time.